When the weather gets cooler, naturally, we look for interesting things to do indoors. But you also might have family coming in from out of town, and they want to see the culture that Wisconsin has to offer. We're exploring the state's museums on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Greg Vadney is the executive director of the Roar West Art Museum in Manitowoc. He's also the vice president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kate.
Well, this time of year, we've got 1.5 million things going on. We're scrambling to buy gifts, decorate the house, bake cookies, not to mention hosting friends and family. With all that said, can a visit to a museum be a nice reset during the holiday season?
Boy, can it ever. You know, Wisconsin museums, you see almost 1 million people per county per year. And during this time, during the holiday time, when you have family in town, is one of the most popular times for people to visit museums.
So is this a pretty busy time then for museums?
It sure is. We have, and like you said, it is a great time when you're running around, you feel hectic, you feel overwhelmed, to be able to come to a place to contemplate, to think, and also to enjoy time spent together. It's a way to kind of decompress, and it is also a way to learn maybe more about your community, more about Wisconsin, and to think a little bit more about the world in general.
Well, give us a sense of the scope of Wisconsin's museums. How many museums are there in the state, and what kind of variety do we see?
I wish I could give you a definitive number. We at Wisconsin Federation Museums have been going about trying to determine exactly how many there are, but we don't have any kind of official certification for museums in the state of Wisconsin. So you find that there are a lot of small institutions, maybe private, for-profit institutions that operate what they would call a museum, a collection of objects that they're interpreting. And if we include some of those, we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 or so museums throughout the state. And the variety includes the larger museums that you might have heard of: Milwaukee Public Museum, the Milwaukee Art Museum, the Chazen Museum that's part of University of Wisconsin. But also many of them are very small museums, some operated by volunteers solely. And you might find them in the Northwest that really interpret the history of logging. You might find ones where I am in northeast Wisconsin on Lake Michigan that talk about our maritime history. And you'll find them throughout the state talking about all the diversity of the state.
And you're also seeing historic sites that would be considered museums as well. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Historic homes. And when we talk about museums decorating for the holidays, a lot of them are these historic homes that either want to take you back to the 19th century and do maybe a Victorian Christmas. Our museum is one of those. We decorate our historic Roar Vilas Mansion for the holidays. And but others, I know there's a museum out in the Eau Claire area, the Monroe County Historical, that does an annual exhibit where they talk about the 1950s. So for the population there, it's an opportunity to think back of what their childhood was. And another great example of that would be the Evergleams that are on display right now.
I know, that's on my list. That's definitely on my list. I haven't been there yet. And that sounds like it's been more of an annual exhibit, I understand.
It is, and I'm a little biased because the Roar West Art Museum is in Manitowoc in northeastern Wisconsin, and the aluminum specialty company that created
yes.
the Evergleams is from Manitowoc. So actually, as part of our historic Christmas display, we also have some of those aluminum Evergleen trees. And
You can claim it. You can claim it.
Oh, thanks. And we've also, we're working with the same
right? Madison collector. Doesn't have to have everything, right?
No, you got to share with us, right?
All right, carry on.
Yeah, and it's I believe Steve Sire is the collector who has done the setup down in Madison, and he's also worked with us on our setup. It is amazing. I know people around the country who set up those old Evergleams, and it is maybe a little bit kitschy, but for those
Wait. You qualify that maybe a little bit kitschy?
I had to hedge my bets on that.
I don't think you're going to offend. It is. Okay, it is.
I just said I've got people around the country that set these things up. I don't want to insult them. But for the listener who might not understand, if you've ever seen a Charlie Brown Christmas, it's what everybody but Charlie Brown wanted to get as their Christmas tree.
In the 1960s.
Yes, the shiny aluminum tinsel trees that had a wave of popularity in the 1960s.
You are the executive director of the Rar West Art Museum in Manitowoc. And for those who aren't familiar with that museum, can you tell us about it?
I sure can. The museum, first off, encompasses the Vilas Rar Mansion, which I had mentioned, a late 19th century Victorian mansion here in Manitowoc. Like many other historic museums throughout the state, we talk about the people that live there and then the community beyond that. We also house a pretty phenomenal collection of artwork. It's mostly 20th century artwork. We've got a collection that includes a very, very popular early George O'Keeffe painting, Picasso, Warhol. People are usually very surprised when they walk in the doors, especially when they see a Victorian mansion, to see a collection of very top-of-the-line, world-class 20th century modern art.
And is this part of your permanent collection?
It is part of the permanent collection, and now is a good time to mention we're also a public museum. Manitowoc is a city of about 32,000-33,000 people, and we're part of we're a department of the city of Manitowoc's government. And I always find it's very important to remind people of that this artwork, the George O'Keeffe painting, and Andrew Wyeth that was just on loan at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., these are owned by the people of Manitowoc. We also, and here's, I had said maybe kitschy, here's perfectly kitschy. In 1962, the Sputnik 4 spacecraft, a Soviet satellite, crash-landed directly in front of our museum. So we also act as a historic site in the interpretation of this crash of a spaceship that landed in the middle of the street in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure you have people who flock to that, and they say, well, let's go in the museum.
Absolutely. You know, we have a lot of people who walk in the door, and they're like, yeah, George O'Keeffe. Yeah, okay, all right, whatever, Victorian mansion. Where's this Sputnik thing?
Where's this galactic garbage?
So
yeah?
We do entertain a bunch of different types of visitors.
There's also something called the Nutcracker in the Castle exhibit at the Payne Art Center in Gardens.
Right. That's right. It's not far from us. What the Payne in Oshkosh does, they've got a gorgeous historic home. And in fact, they're within their rights to call it a castle. And they have decided that their kind of holiday celebration is that local dancers, actors, perform within the house, and each different room is themed with a different scene of the Nutcracker.
Mm.
And that is a highly popular exhibit.
Wait, and so there's dancers and an exhibit, and you're walking through this?
Absolutely, and I guess, as I understand it, it finishes up in the Sugar Plum Fairy Cafe, where you can stuff your face with a variety of candy and baked goods.
Wow, that's a very high sensory type of an exhibit there.
It sure is. It sure is. You are kind of getting it all. You know, it's not just the visual display, but it's the action. It's the food. They've really, like you said, it's all-encompassing.
And it seems like museums have kind of upped their game with that, giving people just more than something on the wall, or you're really starting to see lots of themes going on.
I think we are, but also beyond trying to, I guess, create things that are sensory overload, entertainment, Museums are always conscious of providing some kind of education, and oftentimes with Wisconsin museums, these are small museums, like I said, you find that your local historic museum wants to engage you in something that's fun, but also share with you a little bit about your unique culture of your community.
We're exploring museum exhibits, getting good bets to escape on a cold day or entertain family with an outing when they come to town. It is Wisconsin Weekend. Join in with your must-see exhibit at 800-642-1234. Greg Vadney is our guide. He's vice president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. He also heads up the Rahr West Museum. The Rahr West Art Museum also, by the way, has been a longtime business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Join in with your favorite museum. 800-642-1234. Is there a cool museum in your community that you think people should check out? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Yes, a museum exhibit on my must-see list. Got to check out the Wisconsin Historical Museum's love affair with the aluminum Christmas tree. I imagine we'll be transported to the 1960s when aluminum trees were all the rage. The exhibit, by the way, runs until January 13th. Greg Vadney is our guide to the exhibit gems around the state. He is the executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc. He's also the vice president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. You can call in with your favorite museum picks at 800-642-1234. Is there a neat museum in your community that you think people should check out? And what about the special exhibits going on, where time is of the essence? We don't want to miss out. Join in or fill us in at 800-642-1234. Susan in Baraboo emailed. She recommended the Angel Museum in Beloit. They have thousands of angel figurines. How about that, Greg?
Yeah, I've heard of the Angel Museum in Beloit. That's right, and that's a great example of one of the many museums throughout the state where an individual collector who has a passion for a certain object has taken it upon themselves to create something, and then the willingness to then share that with the public. And the Angel Museum is a great example.
And that is at angelmuseum.org. Where we left off, though, we were dancing with the Nutcracker at the Payne Arts Center and Gardens. And I understand that there are a number of local historic homes all across the state that do traditional Christmas decorating. Can you talk more about that?
I can. As I said before, many times when you find those traditional places, they're either going to be in historic houses or some of the great kind of living history sites throughout the area, whether they're historic farm sites or outdoor country villages. They oftentimes do the candlelight Christmas or a regional or a timely holiday celebration.
And for those who want a really good light show, where would you recommend?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've heard is the Henry Vilas Zoo, which is right down in your neck of the woods in Madison, puts on zoo lights. I will also say, if you're not in the Madison area, come here to Manitowoc, where our local Lincoln Park Zoo does the lights on Lincoln. And both of these are kind of the outdoor, everything lit up pathways that you can wander through, have a cup of hot chocolate, and enjoy.
Well, Charles in Milwaukee emailed. He recommends the Harley-Davidson Museum is a must-see in Milwaukee. Even if you aren't a Harley fan, Charles says, this museum is an interesting part of Wisconsin culture. Check it out.
That's a great example of not, if you're visiting museums this time of year, it doesn't have to be Christmas-themed. It doesn't have to be holiday-themed. There are wonderful museums that operate all year long throughout the state. The Harley-Davidson Museum is one of them. I know some of the people that work there. As a matter of fact, one of the curators there I worked with back in New York at the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. And I can tell you that not only is it a fun place to go, but it's a an incredibly professional operation. You know, people are amazed when they walk in the door at the Harley-Davidson Museum. But if you went into the back rooms and saw how professional a museum staff they had, you'd be even more amazed.
What about some good ideas for indoor museums that cater to families and especially those that have kids who are taking along with the little ones? What would you recommend?
Well, gee, you know, I don't know that there are many museums throughout the state that wouldn't be a great place to bring your kids. It's one of the things about, if you want to call the museum world an industry, about the industry. We cater to families, and any museum you go to, by their rights, should have some activities that anybody from a toddler all the way up well past retirement age into their hundreds could take part in. There are many children's museums throughout the area, throughout the state, and children's museums, though they are geared for kids, can be a ton of fun. I've got a bunch of kids, and when I walk into a children's museum, I'm interested in doing the stuff themselves. Maybe that says a little bit about me. I don't know. But experiences can be had, whether it's a place like Villa Terrace in the Milwaukee area, or a place like the Chippewa Valley Museum out on the west side of the state. They offer a entirely different variety of things, but each one probably is going to match the interest factor of the visitor. I'm going to put you on the spot now, Kate.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite museums? I hope you don't mind that I'm putting.
Well, we are a constant at the Children's Museum here in Madison. I mean, that is certainly a weekend spot. We're members, and we also, by the way, take that membership and go other places with it. So that's always helpful when you're traveling to museums in Milwaukee or in other states as well. We definitely use that reciprocity.
Yes, and we at the RAR West Art Museum are part of some of those reciprocal membership programs, and I have to say, I probably get more positive comments from my members about reciprocity than anything else when it comes to membership perks. The ability to travel all throughout the state and even all throughout the country and go into museums with the benefit of a member is tremendous. And also for us, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all museums that have membership programs, not only financially are our members the lifeblood, but they're our greatest advocates. They are the people that take the time to love and support our museums. So those memberships make a huge, huge difference for us.
And Greg, with that said, are there museums out there that are free that you can walk into without having to pay?
Well, I know mine is. The RAR West, because it's a public museum run by the city of Manitowoc, is free to the public. And there are many museums that are out there. The other thing is, even if you're not a member and you have a local museum, if you check that museum out, whether it's on their website, their Facebook page, whether you call up, almost all museums have some free days or free evenings that you can take advantage of. I know for me, I have a family with 5 kids. It can get very expensive. We tend to be members in museums because that's what I'm going to be. But if I wasn't a member, I'd be certainly on the lookout for some of those free or discounted evenings or days.
We're exploring museum exhibits, good bets to escape on a cold day or entertain the whole family. Greg Vadney is our guide on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'd love to hear about museums and exhibits in your part of the state. Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234 here on the Ideas Network, or email at ideas@wpr.org. Greg, what about non-holiday exhibits? What exhibits are happening that are really worth seeing this weekend and in the coming weeks?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because, as I said before, you know, it's a great opportunity with the holidays. People are visiting family. A lot of times have a little bit of time off of work, and it's a good time to visit museums, but you don't necessarily have to do something that is explicitly holiday-themed. And I think one of the great new exhibits that's coming up that you're going to want to check out, and this one isn't open yet but will be, is over at the Jewish Museum in Milwaukee. And it's called Allied in the Fight, Jews, Blacks, and the Struggle for Civil Rights, and talks about the connections between those two marginalized groups, especially those two groups in Milwaukee, and the history of them working together. And sometimes what you find in a museum isn't necessarily going to make you smile. Museums, part of our job is to question the world around us and to bring to light some maybe very uncomfortable truths about who we are and who we were.
And museums can challenge you. They can make you think and maybe perhaps see the world in a different way.
You got it. And speaking of seeing the world in a different way, another one in Milwaukee that I'll highlight is the Milwaukee Art Museum's exhibit, Degas to Picasso, which talks about the proliferation of abstract art in France. That exhibit is up right now as well.
Right. So if you can't afford that trip to Paris, this might be a good substitute.
It's brought to you. You got it.
And I understand, too, there are like 150 pieces in that exhibit. So lots to look at.
Yes. Yeah, it's tremendous. And I'll tell you, one of the easy ways to get there is to go to the Wisconsin Federation of Museums website, wisconsinmuseums.org, and check our affiliate list. And you'll find all of our affiliate museums on that list, and you determine which ones you'd like to travel to or which ones are in your hometown, and you'll be able to find out a lot more.
It's nice, too, to be able to double up on a museum day. If you know you're going to, say, go to Milwaukee, you could see a couple things during the day.
Absolutely. And I know for us here in Manitowoc, we've got a number of great museums in our area. The Pinecrest Historic Village, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum is right down the street from us, and we have a lot of visitors that combine our different locations into kind of one museum getaway.
Isn't the Maritime Museum showing the Christmas ship? Is that what they call
it? Yes. Well, the Christmas tree ship. The
Christmas tree ship, yeah.
Event went on, I believe, last weekend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They actually, this is the Rouse Simmons. It's a ship that sank right off of the coast of Wisconsin in Lake Michigan in the late 19th century. And it was in early November, and it was loaded with Christmas trees that were going to be taken from northern Wisconsin, I'm not sure where, but down to Chicago to be sold. And the ship sank, along with many other ships. It's amazing how many shipwrecks there are right off of the coast of Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Maritime Museum right now has a wonderful exhibit on all of the different shipwrecks. And certainly the Rouse Simmons, the Christmas tree ship, is one of the ones that is kind of an unfortunate highlight.
Well, Nora in Stoughton emailed. She says, I love the Holiday Express train exhibit at Olbrich Gardens. Every year they have a different theme. Once it was a Lego theme, another year fairy houses, and this year it's the Wild West. Fun for kids and adults, so festive, Nora says. After you go into the conservatory where it's warm and balmy, perfect for Wisconsin in the winter.
Another great example that it doesn't have to be a children's museum. Any museum around the state is providing a great deal of fun, enjoyment, and kind of holiday cheer for all visitors.
And it brings me to my next question, which is all of the quirky museums there are in the state. Because thinking about trains, I know there is a train museum, a mustard museum, an accordion museum. Do you have some favorite quirky museums?
Oh, boy. You know, I always consider us a quirky museum when it comes to that Sputnik. There are, you're right, there's a ton of very interesting, odd museums throughout the state. I haven't gotten to the Mustard Museum yet, but
in Middleton.
That one is probably one of those ones that you kind of have to see. The Accordion Museum, I'm not familiar with. It seems right. I'm not a native Wisconsinite, but I have experienced a few polkas since I got here, and I get the feeling that the Accordion Museum might be a can't miss.
Yeah, up right there with the Cheesemaking Museum, right?
That's right. That's right. And a lot of museums, whether they're cheesemaking, dedicated to cheesemaking or not, might have some cheesemaking events during the course of the year. Same goes for brewing. Boy, there are a lot of places up in the Neville Public Museum, which is in Green Bay. I know they've got a wonderful kind of brewing program that's going on.
Well, I think these places really speak to the fact that high art isn't a requirement to be a museum. Is there something to be said for accessibility of a place like these types of museums?
There is, and I think museums do struggle to overcome the stigma of being, well, in our case, a mansion on a hill. We are quite literally a mansion on a hill. And for many, many individuals in our community, that doesn't seem accessible. And the museums throughout the state and throughout the country are working hard to make sure that we are not leaving people out, that we are telling the stories of all people in our community, stories in many cases that haven't been told. And we also want to make sure whether it's economic, whether it's social, whether it's political, that museums are considered to be a place for all people to come and share experiences. And that doesn't mean that we shy away from speaking about difficult things, but we need to make sure that people have a voice here.
And so programming is a really key thing then for museums.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And diversity in programming, making sure that we're not just doing the same thing for the same people.
Well, let's go to the phones now at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Grant, who joins us from Brookfield. Hi, Grant.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well. What's your favorite museum?
We, my wife and I take our grandchildren on a tour of Wisconsin every year. We have them. They're from out of town. And we spend a week with them going to quirky places around Wisconsin. And last year, we just happened to go to the Mustard Museum in Middleton. My grandkids are 9, 10, and 11, and they had a fabulous time at the Mustard Museum. We all were in there for about 4 hours, which I wouldn't have believed when we walked in the door. And they have hundreds of different kinds of mustards that you can taste. Mustards from all over the world, games you can play, and it was very interesting. Another part of our tour was the Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, and another fabulous example of a museum. We're lucky in Wisconsin to have such interesting places to go. Your guest had mentioned the reciprocity. And we're members of the Milwaukee Public Museum and the Art Museum, and I travel for work. And every town that I go into, that's one of the first things that I do when I'm working somewhere out of
state. Check out the museum. Yeah, well, Grant, thank you so much for calling in. We're discussing museum exhibits this hour. You can join in 800-642-1234. What's your favorite museum in Wisconsin? Let's discuss. We'll be back after a news update. Here's a cool find. The Cable Natural History Museum up in Cable, Wisconsin, has installed 25 life-sized metal mammals along a short scenic snowshoe trail at the North End Trailhead just south of Cable. Artist Mark Blasky of Altoona fabricated the mammal cutouts from steel, and local volunteers installed them. You get mammal art and snowshoeing all wrapped up in the same outing. We're discussing museum exhibits this hour of the morning show. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite museum in Wisconsin? What's one exhibit you don't want to miss this season? Fill us in, 800-642-1234. Let's join Hazel in Stone Lake. Hi, Hazel.
Hi. I want to compliment the Stone Lake Historical Museum because they're fulfilling a role of keeping the community together. They were forced to consolidate their school system. They'd had a wonderful little country-like school, and they had to be joined with a bigger school. And the Historical Museum is keeping those community members as a community. They have historical walks in cemeteries to talk about the founding families. And this last summer, we were invited as a country school that had been closed to meet, have a reunion there, and people wrote their stories. We actually have a Boylan School book now, including the parent coach who had kept the baseball team going. So they just have a wonderful community-minded historical gathering point, a focus, so that this little community doesn't just disintegrate into suburbs of the next small town. Thank you.
Well, Greg Vadney, it sounds like what Hazel is describing is a real community effort.
Yes, Hazel is getting to the heart of what most museums do. You know, we think of museums as the oftentimes as the large institutions and the places where on vacation you feel like, oh, I've got to go to see this. But so many of our museums are also those collections of a small community that really are the essence of that small community, and are essentially the line of defense from losing that culture and that heritage. And they're all around us. They're in every community in Wisconsin. And sadly, they're also one of the things that are really a threat right now due to a variety of circumstances, many of which are political. And right now, I know a lot of people are talking about the tax overhaul, and of course, it's going to affect museums like it would affect anyone. Our biggest issue as museums is not probably the same as a lot of other, but one of the things that we see in the new tax legislation that is potentially hurtful to museums is actually the raise of the general deduction. That somebody who no longer itemizes their tax deductions will probably not be motivated to give as much. And the people that we're talking about would be really kind of middle class and upper middle class, people who might give, you know, three figures or four figures. We're not talking about upper level, but for a museum like the one that Hazel's talking about, a $1,000 gift is the difference between closing and not closing. And when you add it all up, we're talking about a drop of 4% to 6.5% of charitable giving over each year. And that's about $13 billion that not only museums, but every local community charitable organization can expect.
That adds up.
I know that the American Alliance of Museums is recommending a universal charitable deduction. I know that there are people in both sides of Congress and the Senate who believe that a universal charitable deduction could be added without changing much to the legislation, and would be a great comfort to not only, like I said, not only museums, but any small charity that relies on its neighbors, not necessarily extremely wealthy people, but people who love their communities, want to give back maybe a small amount, who and will still give. I mean, these people are still going to give to our museums, but are they going to give at the $5,000 level, or are they going to dial that back if they don't have a motivation on their tax bill?
And Greg, we've got a segue here because we've got some great call outs coming out here.
Sure.
From museums. Natalia from Arborvitae called to recommend the Lee Yockey Woodson Museum in Wausau. Natalia says the art is unique and diverse. They rotate their exhibits frequently. Natalia says she lives 90 minutes away, but it's worth the drive. They have a wonderful bird exhibit in the fall.
They are one of Wisconsin's best museums. We're given a national award this past year for excellence in museums.
Mm. Joyce called to suggest the Iron County Museum in Hurley. Free admission, old-time rug weaving, logging, and mining exhibits, and you could spend hours there exploring.
Absolutely. So many places where mining, logging, things that maybe aren't done as much right now in their areas, but are the reason for being in that area. And it's great to remind people of the history of their areas, the reason why a town might have been formed and how a town would have grown.
All right. So are there any other special events happening to put on our radar at Wisconsin Museums that you'd like to highlight? And what's in store as well for Wisconsin Museums in 2018?
Well, there's way too many, and I don't want to upset any of our affiliates by highlighting one or two and leaving the rest out. I can say that the Wisconsin Federation of Museums continues to work with museums throughout the state to help them to grow their events, to grow exhibits, and to get people like you and the rest of our state community aware of those events. If you go to wisconsinmuseums.org, we do highlight our affiliates, and we'll give you a lot of information about the different museums in Wisconsin.
Well, Greg, this has been so much fun. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Kate. Make sure you get out and support your local museums. And
will
bring
do.
Bring your family members.
Bring the brood. Greg Vadney is Executive Director of the Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc, Vice President of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. And by the way, Rahr West is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're crowdsourcing Wisconsin Weekend. Tip us off on something cool that could reach all corners around the state. We want to hear about it. Send along your ideas to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
You might have heard that a little movie called Star Wars opens this week. The Last Jedi is the latest in the series, and it got journalist Meg Jones thinking about Luke Skywalker and his connection to a Milwaukee Civil War hero.
The highly anticipated next installment of Star Wars hits theaters this month. Unlike the first movie in the reboot, launched 2 years ago, The Last Jedi is expected to feature way more screen time for Luke Skywalker, the lightsaber-wielding hero who might be based on a Civil War hero from Milwaukee. Some Star Wars fans will probably scoff at the idea that Darth Vader's son was inspired by a soldier who lost his father at a young age and left home to wage war in a land far, far away. But stick with me. Howard Bass Cushing was born in Milwaukee in 1838. He and his brothers spent part of their childhood in the Waukesha County community of Delafield, where a park is named after them. All of the Cushing boys answered the call to fight for the North in the Civil War, and one of his brothers was recently awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions at Gettysburg that helped repel Pickett's charge. After the Civil War, Howard Cushing fought Apaches in the 3rd Cavalry in Arizona and New Mexico. He was killed in an ambush in 1871. One of Cushing's fellow soldiers, a man named John G. Burke, called Cushing the bravest man he ever knew. Burke had earned a Medal of Honor during the Civil War and later wrote several popular books about serving with the U.S. Cavalry in the Southwest. 25 years later, a lonely soldier assigned to the same desolate outpost in Arizona where Cushing and Burke had served likely read some of Burke's books, including passages that described Cushing. That soldier was Edgar Rice Burroughs, the creator of Tarzan. But before he dreamed up the Lord of the Jungle, Burroughs conceived a popular character named John Carter of Mars. Howard Cushing and John Carter of Mars share many similarities. Burroughs' description of John Carter is very similar to the description of Cushing in Burke's books. Both are recklessly brave Civil War veterans and Indian fighters. They're prospectors who discover minerals in Arizona and good marksmen at home on their horses. Which brings us to Flash Gordon. The creator of the 1930s comic strip and radio and film serials was influenced by the John Carter of Mars character. A decade later, a boy in California named George Lucas fell in love with Flash Gordon. Lucas even tried to buy the rights to make his own Flash Gordon movie, but couldn't afford the fee. So he decided to create his own space fantasy.
Take these two over to the garage, will you? I want them cleaned up before dinner.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
Shortly before Star Wars was released in 1977, Lucas described his new movie as an adventure in space, just like John Carter of Mars. So, if Lucas said Star Wars was like John Carter of Mars, and John Carter was likely based on Milwaukee-born Civil War hero Howard Cushing, then I think you could say that Cushing could be the inspiration for Luke Skywalker.
Meg Jones is a journalist in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
And this hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina, and Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser provided on-air technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you find Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network.